Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble.
I smell something here. I've got a little...
Here we go.
Little tickle in my nostril.
There you go.
And it might be Newport County flavoured.
I don't think you can underestimate how much Spurs get in his head.
Like if they met with some Saudi clubs and they're like, well, this guy hasn't been playing that well. And you go, Anthony, do that thing, twirl around with the ball. There's no other way, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair. Newport County hosts Manchester United and Ange faces Pep tonight. It's Friday 26th of Jan. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Eddie Russell.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday. I went a bit Sean Dyche there on the intro, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you did.
You obviously were screaming yourself hoarse at Craven Cottage on there.
It must be that. Yeah. It must be that. So the old throat isn't what it was, but the mind and heart still are. If you haven't already, then go and listen to the latest Ramble Reacts, where you'll hear my croaky voice after Craven Cottage on Wednesday night, of course. Fulham's lost to Liverpool in the Carabao Cup semi-final, but Andy and I had a nice chat about it, which was lovely.
Yeah, I provided tea and tissues, didn't I?
It's like a therapy. Wow, careful! It's like a therapy session, wasn't it, for you, Marcus?
Yeah, you could say that.
Just talking yourself around about how actually it wasn't that bad, and don't feel too bad about it.
Yeah, we better to have loved and lost.
Exactly.
And all
exactly.
That.
You've remained very positive, and it's a very admirable quality.
Thanks. Well, it's the episode above this one in your podcast app, so go and listen to it right now, and remember to subscribe so you never miss a thing from us here. At the Football Ramble. The EFL confirmed yesterday that it will keep two-legged semi-finals for the Carabao Cup next season. Yeah. Due to the steaming success of
Chelsea lobbying them after they scored about 5 million goals in the second leg against Middlesbrough.
Yeah, exactly.
We need two legs to get it done.
God, I'm so glad for that second leg.
Yeah,
we all need to keep that going, don't we?
Yeah.
There we are. But there are no second legs in the FA Cup, Andy Brassel.
No.
It's fourth round time. We've already had a fourth round tie. Swansea City, it's fair to say, were put to the Bournemouth sword, weren't they, last night?
They were. They were shellacked.
Absolutely yeah. shell out.
That was a proper doing.
Bournemouth did an annoying thing, though, of not scoring more goals after half-time.
Yeah, that really,
enemies of football,
that really
that.
Annoys me as well, that. Where they think, oh, the tie's won or whatever, and then they don't, and they think, oh, we've got... Because they were, what were they, 5-0 up at half-time, yes. weren't they? And then they go, okay, so we've won that game, we've got Premier League coming up, it's really tough in the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they just wrap
their
hands. I've
done my tax return.
Yeah.
Start doing other jobs.
Yeah, it is a shame.
But do you not think, though, they thought maybe it was perhaps a chilly evening, although it's been a bit mild of late, a bit windy. If you want to go home in the second half, you can, because you know it's done.
We want 10. We want 10. Yeah, that's what we want.
That's what we want.
Just want consistency, right? Which means 10.
Exactly that. We're not going to protect the legacy of the FA Cup if people are going to wrap their hands in the second half of every game.
Yeah. Well, are we
and in Swansea's case, the first half as well.
That's right. Are we going to get 10 at Rodney Parade?
Well, we could do.
Newport County hosting.
Maybe not, will do okay.
Yeah? Well, I'm thinking how many Newport will get.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Would it be 6 or 7? Yeah. It's the tie that that will have people thinking, surely we can... There's a little chance of a cup set here, Andy.
Well, this tie, I think, would have been even more engaging if you go back a couple of years when Rodney Parade had a lot of problems with the pitch.
Yeah.
Particularly at this time of year when it was proper... You know, 80s mud, really.
It's great. It's great stuff.
It's great for them that they sorted it out. But on the other
disagree.
Hand, for a cup tie, yeah, it's
Andy,
different.
I reckon,
get the old pitch back.
I reckon Graham Coughlin might have been just digging it up last night.
Camping on it.
Getting a spade out, yeah. You know, all that. Yeah.
He's got Ed Sheeran playing there.
Monster trucks.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't worry. It's just a manager.
I've got a couple of things to say on this. One is, have you seen the photos? And this is going to sound disrespectful to Newport County. Mm. A lot of broadcasters would say, with no due disrespect, I don't actually really care about being disrespectful to Newport County, mm-hmm. or indeed anyone. The away dressing room.
What about your wife and kid?
You are, obviously, keep them out of it.
Okay,
keep
fine. Them out That's of what it. I always say. Keep them out of it.
But the away dressing room at Rodney Parade is a classic. Get those Man United players in there.
Yeah.
Make them sleep in it the night before. But it's an absolute joke.
But it's not disrespectful to Newport County because it's the away dressing room.
It's what they want. Yeah. That's what they want. Exactly. I would
it's probably, Barry Fry stuff.
I would take probably some kind of pay-per-view footage and I would pay for it of seeing the Man United players turn up.
Yeah.
To that dressing room,
yeah.
and seeing each of their reactions, where they're going to find their.
I regret Ronaldo moving.
Yeah, that would be brilliant.
But he did play in the FA Cup, so he would have witnessed this kind of thing.
Yeah,
but still.
But I think also.
But nowadays, though, like older Ronaldo, he'd be right pissed off.
There's no
gold Saudi throne in there. Like, so,
someone just puts one of those little kind of Moroccan like cushions on the. Well, there's just one on the long bench. He's like, that's my seat.
That's the one.
There's no team of this. Standard that has got a better record in beating or having getting positive results against better teams in cup competitions in this country.
That's right.
You know, if you look at the list, you know, it's Middlesbrough and Leicester and Leeds, and I think they got a draw against Spurs. Mm-hmm. So there's a load of stuff to credit them. They're in good form. They're coming off the back of a win their last time out as well. I think it was a derby win as well against Wrexham, a big win against Wrexham for them. I smell something here. I've got a little...
Here we go.
Little tickle in my nostril.
There you go.
And it might be Newport County flavoured.
Yeah.
And I've, as you can all agree, I've kept pretty quiet up till now on most things.
Yeah, you do that.
I would love it if Newport County got something here. And I reckon they can. I think they can
do it. When you say something, I mean, a draw would be massive for them.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Take it to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Be good.
And then win there. So you kind of, you know.
I think Man United have been very distracted this week trying to get anyone to buy Antony.
Yeah.
And that might just, and that means they might not be focused on this game. They might be looking past it.
Yeah. I mean, they really are trying to get rid of Antony, aren't they?
Well, that's more of a long-term project, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, getting rid of Antony.
Yeah.
Well, no, but with Saudi Arabia now on the scene, I think that shortened the project potentially.
Man United have been linked with Brian Brobbey this week, which is
great.
Enjoyable because we all like to say Brian Brobbey. Let's not pretend we're more mature than we are. But I also love how whatever Man United's problem seemed to be, Ten Hag's solution is Ajax.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time.
I'll call Ajax.
Yeah.
We're getting off Jordan Henderson. would Brian Brobby be the sort of the new Sydney Sam, maybe?
I think he's even better than that.
If you remember Sydney Sam.
Private detective.
Yeah.
Private
wasn't he a cowboy?
Yeah, either.
He's a private...
In I think Marcus's
was,
mind.
I thought he was like a gumshoe private investigator in like Chicago in the 30s.
I think we all had our own interpretation of it, but they were all very, very pleasing.
Yeah. Recently, Brian Brobby was criticised by Marco van Basten, who said he wasn't really up to it. Shouldn't be leading the line for a club like Ajax, that sort of thing. And Brian Brobby said...
Have you seen Ajax play?
Obviously.
Recently?
He said, well, Marco van Basten's one of the greatest players in the history of football, so I should respect his opinion. And then he just left it there.
Right.
I thought you were going to say he was going to give the punchline, but maybe best...
No need.
It's a choose-your-own punchline, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. But in terms of finances and all that kind of stuff, I mean, it's been a big week or a big recent a few weeks for Newport County because Hugh Jenkins completed his takeover of the club to be the majority shareholder and chairman. We remember Hugh Jenkins, even he's been a few places, but Swansea City, I think, is where people would remember him there. Now, he did leave under a cloud a little bit at Swansea, and I know some of the fans there aren't huge fans of his, but what they achieved at Swansea when he was there is undeniable, but I don't want to start speaking into that too much because we're talking about Newport, and also Swansea fans will have their reasons, I'm sure. But it's been an interesting one. A mate of mine does the 1912 Exiles Newport County podcast, and I was asking him about this, and he said, "Yeah, it's a funny one because some fans are excited about it because this club was in a bit of a tricky situation financially, to say the least. But they did say that they were very sad to vote for the trust to lose control" of the club or running the club. So,
but the problem is with that,
it's such a, what do you do?
He would know much more about Newport than I ever will, but the problem with that is, as far as I understand it, that Newport, they may well have been owned or part owned or whatever by a supporters trust, but
and will remain to, they still will be.
Still partly. Be involved.
They'll be involved, but it's not quite.
But it's kind of similar.
Not controlling interest.
No.
But when Portsmouth were owned by the club I support were owned by the fans, it only worked to a certain point because it's very, very difficult to maintain any kind of club to break even or even to profit at that level because the numbers just don't work.
Yeah, I know.
So you end up always having to find investors to kind of get things back on track. And it's definitely been the case with Newport. Yeah. I mean, they've been struggling financially terribly for a long time. So, this game will obviously help, particularly if they can take them back to Old Trafford. But from a selfish point of view on a Sunday afternoon, I want to see them beat Man United.
Well, okay, so let's bring it up a bit. So as I say, the lads who do the 1912 Exiles project, they refer to Will Evans, who scored in the last game, as the Llangedwin Eusebio.
Okay, good.
Which I think is quite
very
nice.
Very specific.
Specifically Eusebio. So we can all get behind that, which I quite like.
Definitely.
I was also told that additional time at Rodney Parade is sponsored by Free Gripper.
What is Free Gripper?
No idea.
Well, the dugouts.
They'll grip you for free, Jim.
Yeah, the dugouts have Compede branding, which just suggests discomfort as well, doesn't it?
And of course, Goldie Looking Chain were former shirt sponsors.
Of course they were, yes.
So, I mean, they've got a bit of entrepreneurial spirit down there.
It'd be great, wouldn't it, if they could get a result here?
I have that.
Jim Ratcliffe choking the planet to death, not getting enough criticism for it, you disgusting prick.
But at least he's trying to get rid of Anthony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you've carbon footprint there. Yeah. There's a lot of energy being wasted for no reason of Anthony.
Carbon footprint seems to cut in from the left a lot. That's it.
His carbon footprint is just 1 foot.
You can imagine, though, if they met with some Saudi clubs and they're like, well, this guy hasn't been playing that well. And you go, Anthony, do that thing, twirl around with the ball. Yeah. You like that? You want that?
Yeah,
you can have that.
Yeah. He'll just do this in your palace.
Yeah. Do you need a court jester? Because he's your man.
Yeah.
Another Anthony, though. Anthony Martial is out for 10 weeks, so he won't be involved. Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw.
No one will notice. Literally no one will notice.
Yeah, he doesn't have to fend off transfer interest now. He can just pick up the rest of his wages.
He'll be fine. Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw return from injury.
Did you see Harry Maguire almost beat old Luke Littler in a leg of darts?
Really?
This week, yeah. Luke Littler beat him in the end.
I can imagine Harry Maguire.
Well, they practice every time they're on England duty. They should be good at darts.
I think Maguire was actually fairly decent.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me generally when footballers are good at stuff like that, but it partly did surprise me that Harry Maguire was.
If you were playing darts and you saw Michael Owen walk by, would you just chuck them at him?
You should have moved.
Yeah, because if you remember when
you should have had the bravery to move.
When he threw a dart at somebody and it stuck in their leg and he was like, well, you should have moved.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
you had ages to see that coming.
That's what you do.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't understand.
Odd little fellow.
Very odd, but a fine goal scorer in his day. So, yes, good luck to Newport County. We want you to win. Quite frankly,
we'll be watching that on the TV. That's what the FA Cup's all about.
That is what it's about. There's no doubt about that. Also on TV, Maidstone United, they've made it. They've convinced the BBC.
The chairman's kicked off enough, and they've taken the hint. He was fuming last time.
He was.
Absolutely fuming.
And I understand.
And now they're going to get whooped, because that's how Sos Law works. Right, you want to be on telly? 6-0.
There you go. Yeah. Right? That's what you want. There's your memories. But they did get a collector's item, of course, when Sam Corn's third round winner went in. Lovely goal it was. But George Ellacobi said that he'd watched Sam Corn's third round winner more times than he's seen clips of Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi. I love that. I managed that guy. Yeah. I told him to shoot. Yeah. Big George said that their exploits have made national news back in his home country of Cameroon.
His story is extraordinary, though.
It is.
When you think he came over from Cameroon as a teenager, went to college, worked his way up through non-league and eventually got to playing in the Premier League. And had a very good league career outside that as well. And now here he is managing the last club he played for.
Well, he said he's the only Cameroonian, or certainly the first Cameroonian, to manage an English outfit, which I didn't do any research. I was very happy to take his word for it.
Yeah.
but if Maidstone can do something there, it will be sensational. But Ipswich are going well. I think they're
really good. And they have one of the best coaches in English football.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they've what Maidstone have done pretty well is they've ramped up the teams they've beaten. Because obviously beat Stevenage last time, beat Barrow, beat Chesham before that, Chesham, I think, are in Gosport Boroughs League. So they've kind of ramped up as they've gone. Now this is a far bigger test away from home against a good team, a well-coached side, as Andy says. You disagree with this before the show, we're talking about it, Marcus, but I'd like to have seen them play someone a bit bigger.
Oh, I didn't disagree with that.
I just think it's one of those annoying games where they're going to be away from home. They're probably going to get beaten. It's not really that memorable to lose to Ipswich. They might lose like a couple of goals, and people are going to forget about it.
The point I disagreed with was that it was like it was just
unglamorous
and completely unglamorous. And I'm thinking, no, that has been a Premier League ground. As I say, England have played there.
They have. But no one will forget that.
They won a European trophy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, there's history.
It's not quite the sweet spot. It's not a mega tie and you're going to get thwacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or are they?
Well, they might not. Romance isn't dead, Andy.
No, Andy. An interesting tie happening on Sunday morning, or kicking off on Sunday morning at least, is West Brom versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. The first Black Country derby for 3 years and the first in front of fans since 2012.
It tells you everything you need to know about the fact that it's kicking off at 11:45. That's normally a good indicator.
It is,
so they'd quite like to get this out of the way with minimum fuss.
Yeah, I think 15 minutes makes a difference to A&E later
on. Yeah, it does.
I think it reminds me of when I did an At The Match at Hibs versus Hearts. And the Hearts fan who we came on said, when it kicked off at midday, you can't really get an undercourt on before this one.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
That's a great way of putting it.
You're definitely not. You can't. That's the whole point. That's what they're trying to stop you doing.
Of course, yeah. The last FA Cup clash came in 2007 when West Brom beat Wolves 3-0 in the fourth round. That surely won't happen this time round, Jimmy.
Well, you never know, do you, with a derby like this? That's the thing about it. I think it's one of the underrated ones in the country, isn't it? Where it is very heated, very emotional. Mm-hmm. And obviously when games become emotional, that's when they become unpredictable. So you would think, given their league positions, that, you know, Wolves are going to it as favourite. But West Brom are doing pretty well. Both teams are in a situation where it's fine for them to have a cup run now. Do you know what I mean? Some teams, a cup fixture is the last thing they need because they're busy fighting fires. That's not true of either team. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's a good set of ingredients for God knows what.
Yeah. And we're also in a position now where we watch Wolves play under Gary O'Neill, under Gag, where we go, are we starting to think that they are actually a good team now? They're in good form. They've not lost a game for a while. They're now kind of safely ensconced in the mid-table of the Premier League, which is a great thing given, you know, their recent history. Mm-hmm. And now they've got a chance, as Jim says, to kind of really spread their wings and see if they can, you know, notch up a memorable derby win against a rival. But on the other hand, West Brom are in good form themselves and doing pretty well. So I can see why there's a lot of heat on this one. I think it'll be an enjoyable game.
Yeah, Pedro Neto's back for Wolves as well, which is massive.
That is a big one, yeah. Have you heard, though, that someone going the other way is Johnny? He's finally leaving Wolves. He's on his way to Pauk in Greece. He's been exiled from the squad since December when he elbowed a youth team player, then went inside and smashed a TV.
Well, I mean, he's not going to misbehave at Pauk, is he? Because the president literally carries a gun in his holster. Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they sent him there.
No, Johnny getting exiled for that. You can't do anything these days.
No, cannot do anything these days.
Has he done a shining?
You can't
smash it up with an axe.
You can't assault.
Yes, Johnny. Anyone?
What do you mean you've not seen it?
You've seen that bit.
You can't even assault a child these days. Sounds to me like Wolves and part of the anti-growth coalition, if you ask me.
So, yeah.
Absolute woke nonsense.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Get over to Greece where you can do what you want.
Woke for Hampton.
That's what he's thinking.
Wonder, I don't know.
You really want him to play for Stoke, don't you?
Yeah. There's a punishment.
Yeah. Ironic as well, because there's not much work going on in Stoke.
No.
Let's be absolutely clear about that.
Let's be very clear. Yeah. Also on Sunday, Southampton head to Watford. Let's hope they all get there without being stuck in a train toilet, because last Saturday, a Southampton fan did indeed get stuck in a train toilet while on their way to watch the game versus Swansea. The fire brigade had to get him out.
Yeah, and luckily, all his mates who were travelling with him already supported him and kind of looked after him, by which I mean they took loads of photos and put it on the internet. He's standing there, and he's trying to hide from the photos, but obviously one half of the train toilet wall is just a big mirror.
Yes.
So they're just taking photos in the mirror, and he's standing there looking grumpy because he's stuck in a toilet.
I didn't think that happened. I thought it was like the fear of getting sucked into an escalator. I didn't think it was actually possible, but this guy has lived that nightmare.
He has, yeah.
The top comment on the story of that was someone saying, and that is why you should never use a train or a plane toilet. It's like, is it?
No, I don't.
Plane toilet?
No, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the vast majority of people don't get stuck in those toilets.
No, they don't.
Oh, dear. Poor lad, though, Andy. We're pretty sure he made the match, which is just as well.
It wouldn't be fair for me to put in insert a comment here about how it's not that surprising because all Southampton fans are stupid.
Yeah.
But some people would say that. I wouldn't, but some people would say that.
Is it possible to be so stupid that you can sort of like essentially break the mechanic on a door?
Yeah.
Can the aura of you be so stupid that it can affect the things around you?
That's I'll give you a measure of how stupid he is. Even though he's stuck in the train toilet for three hours, he still wet his pants. He's had like a big stain around his crotch where he wet his pants.
It's the one thing that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Oh, the one thing you can do, you haven't done.
Oh dear. Blimey, O'Reilly. Well, speaking of Southampton, former Southampton man Stephen Davis has retired from football. He finishes with the UK men's international caps record with 140 of the buggers.
Which is incredible.
Of course, for Northern Ireland. What a career.
Absolutely amazing.
Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, obviously, Northern Ireland aren't the biggest fish in international football. Mm-hmm. But even so, I mean, even just staying fit for that long.
They are a fish.
Incredible. They are a fish.
But he stayed at a really good level at club football for a ridiculous amount of time.
He clearly looked after himself.
Massively.
Yeah.
And if he didn't, then how come he did?
There was a period of time, I think it might have been under Hasenhüttl. Rather than talking about how all Southampton fans like to wet themselves, I'm now going to talk positively about the team. I think it was under Hasenhüttl where
they were beaten 9-0.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
Twice.
No, I don't have the details because I don't watch Southampton play very closely for obvious reasons. But there was a time when Southampton were playing quite high energy, pressing, like counter pressing stuff. And Davis was really important for them. Like in the transitions, he would pick the ball up deep and he was really good for that. And at that point, he was still like mid-30s then.
Yeah.
And he was still very dynamic, very energetic. It wasn't though he wasn't getting around the pitch and stuff like that. I just think he's been an incredible athlete.
Very cerebral too. And it's amazing that basically it's taken an ACL at the age of 39 to finish him off. It's a little bit like David Silva. You know, when he got his ACL and thought, actually, I can't face the climb back from this. I've had an incredible career.
Yeah, and he put in big old shifts for Southampton. You know, they made at least one cup final when he was there.
Played an international tournament as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And at the time, you know, Southampton people forget that for a long time before Brighton and you would say now Bournemouth came along, Southampton did a lot of heavy lifting on the South Coast in terms of entertaining people.
Yeah,
with football. So, you know, we give him and them kudos.
And
for that.
I heard it was so good that a lot of the Southampton fans were wetting themselves with excitement.
There we are, you see. Okay, coming up in the second half, we're going to talk about the big one, Spurs versus Manchester City. We've got an AFCON update and we will be mentioning Harvey Renard, don't you worry. See you in a moment.
Hold up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Major problems with it. For me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Spurs versus Manchester City is happening tonight, and it's a big one. I completely forgot that Manchester City can't score goals at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
It's very strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola said that in an interview, didn't he? He said if he could have one, if he wins treble again this year, what could he possibly wish for after that? And he said to score a goal at Spurs. Is what
he said. Ominous.
Yeah. And Spurs fans will very much treat that as a trophy. How good Pep thinks we are.
Unbelievable. You seen there's a new Pep documentary out on the BBC?
Watched it yet. I've earmarked it to give it a watch, but I haven't been able to do so yet.
Yeah. It's quite enjoyable.
It is.
There's obviously Jose Mourinho pops up, and there's some marvellous editing because every time he's on screen, you hear the sort of music that you hear in an Attenborough documentary when a shark appears.
He's
really brilliantly
lion chasing an antelope.
He's absolutely portrayed as the villain of the piece that he is.
He's demanded that very music, probably.
Absolutely.
Did Mourinho know what he was being interviewed for?
Oh, he wasn't actually being interviewed. It's just sort of archived.
I was going to say.
There's no way Jose's stepping up for that.
That's why I thought.
Not
come
a chance.
In the week that he's just been sacked, there's no way. Mind you, I didn't even record an age of the guy. Yeah,
it's very good, isn't it? It's very enjoyable. There's a lot of interesting stuff. It grips you, and then at the end, City win everything, and it gets a bit boring. So be familiar to any football fan.
There's no spoilers because everyone knows what happens.
Indeed.
Nice to see Noel Gallagher on there.
It's not nice to see him on there. It loses a star for that.
Yeah. It's so poor. It's just so poor. We know you support Man City. No one fucking cares. Just get on with supporting your club like everyone else does.
To be fair, though, there was that video when they won the league where Pep Guardiola was looking at the camera going, come on, let's do one for Noel.
Yeah, that's fine. He's a famous fan. I get that.
To put that on the documentary.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. Does it, just the fact that he happens to support Man City, does that make him an expert in football?
I don't have time to answer that.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Tonight, Ange Postecoglou and his boys go to battle with Pep Guardiola and co. We've got confirmation that James Maddison is available to start.
And that's a great thing
for
everyone.
That's what we all want to see.
Yeah,
it's exciting. And that makes this tie even more watchable, doesn't it? He's such a watchable player, Maddison.
That's just right.
Imagine the amount of chances that Timo Werner will be able to miss with Maddison setting him up.
He's bound to score one of them. I think what I love about Maddison is the confidence that he has. And yeah. He will be chomping at the bit.
It's a lovely fit for the club, isn't he?
Oh, it is.
He just fits like a glove in there.
But I think they're going to have to be decisive in possession when they're playing Manchester City. So he is the ideal player for that, isn't he?
Do you think he will? I mean, Postecoglou said, you know, he's available to start.
I think he'll play him.
But he hasn't played football for a long time.
He might only get an hour out of him, but he'll play him.
So you would start him rather than bring him off the
Definitely.
Bench?
Definitely.
Well, because if you bring him off the bench, the game might be done already.
Yeah, he's a difference maker.
If we take away City's record at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, you're not thinking, well, I'm going to keep my powder dry for the last 20 minutes against City, are you?
Okay. Dan Kulusevski has also recovered as well, so that would be, you know, it's a plus for Spurs. But they've played some entertaining games. It's often an entertaining fixture.
It is 3-0, wasn't it, earlier in the season?
Yeah.
And it's a great Friday night treat. You know, you get home from work. Marcus has already given you the permission to start your weekend.
Big time.
And you kick it off in a big fashion by watching Spurs Man City. Great.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I think the fact that it's simultaneously entertaining and Spurs find this way to really get under Pep Guardiola's skin is quite it's quite an interesting combination. I mean, it's like what Jim was saying about the documentary. Obviously, they asked a question about him overthinking stuff. But I think his former assistant, I think it was Dominic Torrent, made that thing about... Well, actually, he prepares to a ridiculous level to, like it doesn't matter what the team, it doesn't matter what the game. I mean, it's something that drove people mad at Bayern, actually. They're like, well, he'd lock himself in his office and watch videos of the opposition for like 3 days. They're like, we're playing Mainz at the weekend.
Yeah.
At home.
We'll win. Yeah.
But, you know, the attention to detail is so incredible. So I don't think you can underestimate how much Spurs get in his head.
And Ange won't be doing a lot of prep because, as he's already admitted, he just copies what Pep does.
Yeah.
So it's easy. It's easy for him. Yeah. It's one of those all Premier League FA Cup ties that I'm actually happy is on the telly.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like, oh, Chelsea are playing Aston Villa and they put that on telly. No one cares. Literally no one cares about that. It's just your excuse to give to showcase a Premier League game by another name.
Yes.
Manchester City are also the holders, of course.
Yeah.
You know, they cleaned up last season. You know, let's be clear, it would be very, very boring for anyone other than Man City fans for them to win a load of trophies this season. Mm-hmm.
So, how far does it have to go for Man City fans to get bored? They've got like 10 trebles or 10 quads.
Ask Noel Gallagher. Get Noel Gallagher on.
He'll know.
I tell you, yeah.
But I mean,
the reality is, like, if you saw them in the 80s and 90s, it ain't getting boring. Yeah.
No, fair.
I think the better question is, how long does it take for fans of those clubs who clean up Man City fans at the moment for them to understand that we think it's boring?
Yeah, fair.
If you see
absolutely
what I mean.
Fair.
I mean, and also, if you look at this as a competition, I mean, Manchester, they are absolutely relentless in the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. I mean, they conceded one goal in the entire competition last season. That was in the final against Man United.
That's
mad. They beat Chelsea, Arsenal and Man United on the way.
Yeah.
And so you can't really question how good they were in the FA Cup last season.
Yeah.
But they haven't scored at Spurs in their last five games.
And it's a big opportunity as well, because not just because Spurs are at home, but in a situation like this, obviously, you, by the very nature of getting through, you just take out one of the main competitors. Yeah. And we'll see what's happened with Joe Lewis this week, the former sort of Enoch head, pleading guilty to insider trading. I'm hearing they might be stripped of that 2008 League Cup win because of that.
Imagine that. So, imagine they just bypassed the Man City investigation, go straight to Spurs. We're having that.
I'm not sure how they're linked, but you know, I'm no expert in these things. I was looking at Lewis's Wikipedia page, and there was some absolute genius has done a fantastic bit of vandalism because on it, there's an art collection section that says Lewis's art collection is estimated to be worth $1 billion and includes works by Picasso, Matisse, Lucian Freud and sculptor Henry Moore, along with an NFT of Emerson Royale's no-look pass against Sporting.
Cristiano Ronaldo was still selling NFTs this week.
I know. I mean, why... Like, what can you get from that that you don't already have?
He is a man who loves to live in the past, isn't he? So I mean, it's quite on brand.
But he must just be so far removed from what his commercial team are doing.
Yeah.
That he's just signed it off and he's away. Yeah. Like,
his image
wild.
Rights are like an entity in their own thing.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, Jim, the question is, obviously, you said it is a chance for the holders and the those who win lots of trophies to be knocked out. Who do you want to win the game?
It's a very rare occasion that I want Man City to win, and this is one of them.
Yeah. still can't do
can't
it.
Can't bring it, can he?
I think that's a shame, and I think you've let everybody down in North London.
I'm used to that.
for different reasons this time.
Not just in North London.
Parts of Middlesex as well.
Liverpool faced Norwich on Sunday afternoon, fresh off the back of their Carabao Cup semi-final victory against Fulham.
Which broke your
voice.
Spirit.
And voice.
And voice, by the way, yeah.
They're hosting the Canaries, or as I like to call them, the David Wagner Group, of course.
Yeah.
They had to beat Bristol Rovers, in a replay. Don't oh, dear, I'm doing a Jim Campbell. Norwich did.
Did Jim double down after that and say he doesn't care about either of them anyway? So
no, true. Yeah. He hasn't had any of the repercussions yet.
No, he should have.
It's taken them a long time to get up to London, isn't it? Right? Yeah. Yes. David Wagner, of course, was the best man at Jurgen Klopp's wedding in 2005. And he said the last time he saw him was at Klopp's birthday party last year.
And they clearly had their eyes done at the same time as part of some sort of job lot as well.
Yeah, well, the old laser surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2-for-1 probably. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, 4-for-2 if it's both eyes.
Come on. I'd love to see...
Do you think that David Wagner's going to be saying to Jurgen Klopp, listen, Kloppo, I was best man at your wedding. We go way back. Can you please spare Norwich another beating at the hands of Liverpool?
Maybe.
Because Norwich's record against Liverpool is an absolute disgrace.
It is.
They haven't beaten them since 1994 and they've been on the end of some absolute beatings.
That wasn't as bad as I thought. I thought you were going to go like back to the 1920s or something.
But Norwich were like a Premier League club for quite a while.
Yeah, but Anfield's quite a tough place to
go. No, I mean,
they've had a lot of goals
places,
in it, though.
Not just at Anfield. Yeah. Everywhere.
Oh, I see.
They haven't won at all against them since 1994. There was a 5-4 between them in 2016.
Yeah, that was at the Brit Awards, wasn't it?
Not long after Klopp took over.
That was where Klopp broke his glasses in the celebration of Adam Lallana's winner, wasn't it?
That's right.
And as he very wisely said, it's very hard to find your spare set of glasses when your current glasses are broken.
You can't see anything. Yeah,
that is right.
Hence the precipitation of the laser surgery after that.
Probably.
Can't be getting that situation again.
It's nice that Wagner and Klopp are going to see each other again, though. I could imagine them at a party singing a bit of The Scorpions.
Oh, yeah.
Together.
Well, no. Wind of Change.
Islands in the Stream, like Posh and Becks, I reckon.
No, wind of Change, because they've got a keen sense of history.
Don't Germans also like David Hasselhoff? Bit of the Hoff?
Every single one of them.
Jump in my car. Yeah. Could do a bit of that, couldn't they?
I believe if you go to live in Germany, then you have to sign up to that.
Is that right?
Listen to a bit of the Hoff and so on. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's how much they love him there.
So the Hoff stereotype's bad, the Scorpions one is fine. Right, is that what we're learning here?
No, but the Scorpions one is a good song. Yeah, like, that is a kind of a song that, I mean, a friend of mine said that he saw that at a wedding, that a couple had it as their first dance.
Yeah.
Song, and he said,
"When did it change?"
He said, "I think it was kind of lost on them that they thought it was a love song, and it's actually about the fall of the Soviet Union and communism."
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, "I didn't want to say anything at the time."
No, imagine if he had said something at the time. Grab the mic. Yeah. Well, sorry, this song's about communism. Sorry, have a lovely day, but this song's about communism.
Hey, if there's any former Soviets here, apologies for that.
Yeah. Do you reckon that Klopp and Wagner, Andy, are Klopp and Wagner actually really good, genuinely really good friends?
Yes, they are, and they have been for a very long
time. Best man at his wedding, what more do you need? Why do you need Andy's seal of approval?
They might have had a fall,
If Andy have gone, no, I need more proof. They might have had a fall again.
Do you know who the best man was at Andy's wedding?
I don't think he had one. Oh, dear. Where do we go from there? I said he was at his birthday party last year.
Yeah.
Wagner was.
But I wonder if it's like a two-way thing, whether Wagner just wants to be close to Klopp because he's so successful, where they are actually good pals. Is he like a hanger-on of Klopp's?
It's fascinating how you see friendships. Just because one is more successful
it's
than
like
the other.
It's like you and me.
It's a bit like
I just want to hang out with you because you're really successful.
That'll do.
And you let me hang around sometimes.
I do, yeah. Against... all of my family's wishes. Now, how about this? Jurgen Klopp said that Mo Salah is the most loyal Egyptian I've ever met in my life.
It's a Bangles song, isn't it? Most loyal Egyptian.
That's a great song.
Yeah, really good song.
Yeah, a banger from the Bangles. Yeah. I can see how that comment could be interpreted in a very poor way.
Yes,
but I don't. What does he mean?
I think the issue seems to be that obviously Mo Salah's got injured, it's a hamstring injury. He's going to be fighting against the clock to get fit if they get into the further stages of the competition.
Of course,
he clearly works with the medical staff at Liverpool all the time.
Yes.
And he won't work with the Egypt medical staff that often. Mm-hmm. So he probably feels more comfortable going back to Liverpool for his treatment. he's probably got a lot of stick for that because people want him to be around the squad and you know still make a contribution because he's a senior player there. Yes. And people are putting two and two together.
But
Klopp's been asked about it, obviously.
It's not his first language, I understand, although he's got a fantastic command of English, I should also say. But it perhaps is that Mo Salah is the most loyal Egyptian to Egypt.
Yeah.
I think would have been a better way of putting that.
But it's just the way it's taken out of context.
Of course.
That's all it is, isn't
Andy,
it?
You've listened to the pod before.
Yeah, if we don't take quotes out of context, Andy, we ain't got a fucking show. You need to make your peace with that right now.
I think when we're talking about Mo Salah getting back to his best as soon as possible, did you see how, when he was in his tracksuit in the stands, how they were like picking him up and throwing him about once they were scoring? I mean, really, he needs to be taken out of harm's way.
Yeah, I did think
that. Especially given the other thing, the other injury they got in the camp. I mean, what kind of operation are they running there?
Yeah, Imam Ashour, he's not available for the game against DR Congo because he sustained a concussion after doing a backflip in training.
That's a crap backflip.
It really is.
You landed on your face.
He's landed on his head, is basically what he said.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's not exactly, as Andy said, it's not the most safest, safest camp that you could be in.
No, you stick to swimming pools and your unicorns.
Well, I suppose you've got to practice them some way, though, right?
Yeah, I guess
so. If you're gonna perfect it as a goal celebration, you've got to learn to do it.
Not in an international tournament.
No,
though.
After the tournament.
Yeah. As an Arsenal fan, when have celebrations post-match ever gone wrong?
Well, post-match would be fine. If they lifted the trophy and he's got a concussion afterwards, he'd probably take that, wouldn't he?
Get an extra week off, right?
You haven't got me for 90. That was from 1993.
Yeah. What, Steve Murrow falling off Tony Adams' shoulders?
Yeah. Before Britpop, that, technically.
It's PB, pre-Britpop. So Marcus is now out of his comfort zone.
I'm angry. Yeah. I'll have Stone Roses. I'll you know, even have Happy Mondays, but we're going to do that. Well, look, let's go to the Africa Cup of Nations, of course. Andy, you mentioned that temperatures are particularly high at major tournaments. And, of course, Ghana and Algeria binned off their managers recently after failing to go through. Well, Ivory Coast did go through. They sneaked into the knockouts after being one of the best third-placed teams in the group. But they've sacked their manager.
Sacked him anyway.
What can they do? I mean, that game is
he
coming.
He willingly left, actually.
Oh, I was going to say, it would have been amazing if he just walked into the meeting room with all the Ivory Coast decision makers. Hey, we're through. How you doing? High fives. Backstab.
Well done, boys.
How's it going? Feet up on the desk. Yeah, right, you're off.
You're still thinking about that 4-0 loss, aren't you, to Equatorial Guinea?
Well, so he just said, look, I've taken you guys through. I'm very lucky to do so.
My work is done.
I'm falling on my sword.
Yeah, because really? it was such an embarrassing result in the.
I mean, fair enough to him, I think, for that in one sense, because I think in all senses, because clearly no one stood in his way.
No,
I think if they'd have said no, you're leaving, you can't abandon ship now. We're through. I mean, for him on his record, it will always go down that he got them through that group.
Yeah, but he's also gone, who have we got next? Senegal?
Yeah.
They've won every game. I don't fancy that. Listen, on my watch, guys, we just lost 4-0 to Equatorial Guinea. You don't want me around.
Yeah.
Last thing you want.
Oh, dear. One of the assistant coaches has taken interim charge, of course. Quite magnificently, as a lot of people tweeted me, thank you very much for that. Ivory Coast have asked France, or the French women team more specifically, if they can borrow Harvey Renard for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, France basically said fuck off as well.
Which is a shame.
What was better is that they spent an afternoon considering it in the boardroom before telling them to fuck right off.
Harvey Renard is one of the expendables. It's amazing.
It's so good.
Just swoops in.
It's that slight Dolph Lundgren.
He could pass for a bit of Dolph Lundgren,
I think so, yeah.
Is it not hugely disrespectful to women's football to even ask, though?
Well, I think they would have asked whoever he was managing.
If
he was in the club game, they wouldn't have asked. But I honestly don't think it's to do with that. I think it's to do with what he's done there. And of course, he won the cup with Ivory Coast.
I think that can still be disrespectful to the women's game, though.
Bit of both, maybe.
Well, I don't think it's from it's Ivory Coast who would have disrespected it. I think if France had have said yes, I think the France would have.
Do you reckon the president of the Cote d'Ivoire FA sent him a little WhatsApp, a sort of picture of a white shirt half done up?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll tell you, you need to go after him. Egypt need to go after him so he can carry Mo Salah all the way back to Africa from Liverpool.
All the way down the touchline for the celebration.
He carried the Zambian player, yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Avi wasn't doing that, was he?
Nah, though. He couldn't. He's a 60 a day man. There's no way he's lifting anyone up.
Oh dear. Yeah, they've gone as well. So yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens between Ivory Coast and Senegal, and indeed if the assistant coach is still in charge. Surely there's got to be some mercenary out there. Who would you fancy for it?
Bertie Vokes.
Do you know what I thought, yeah. Bertie? I did think about Bertie. What about Redders?
Oh, yeah. Nick Advocaat has just taken over at Curaçao, yeah. Which is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think his agent is essentially Expedia. Yeah. But were he not in post, he'd be ideal as well.
Well, and sorry to dampen the mood, really sad, but obviously... A man who did manage him at tournament was old Sven.
He's got his heart set on the Liverpool job now, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, look, Jürgen Klopp said that he would, you know, take him into the club and show him around. So. Well, anyway, it'd be all eyes on Ivory Coast and Senegal. Yeah,
I think it's a
huge game.
It is. It's a massive game, and they've got an opportunity as the host nation to actually stamp their authority back on the tournament against one of the form teams in the group. Do I think they do it? Not based on what I've seen. But I do think, despite what Andy says, you know, temperatures do run high. It's a very rarefied environment. It is still rare, possibly unique, that a manager has guided the team through a group stage and then left.
Oh, yeah, it's totally unbelievable.
Yeah. It's very rare. Surely Drogba's the man. Everybody up.
That'd be amazing.
Just to have him in there.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Something we can all agree. Ghana went out, of course. I still can't believe they managed to bugger it up, but they did. Now, we mentioned Ian Aki Williams' flight was being tracked live on El Chiringuito when Pete decided to tune in midway through Wednesday's show. Well, he arrived back in Bilbao on Wednesday morning. Then that evening, came on against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey after 60 minutes when it was 2-2. Went to extra time, and he got the third to make it 3-2, and then assisted his brother in the 121st minute. So I was so pleased for him because it was such a quick pick-me-up from the...
His goal was a 1-2 off the post as well.
It was.
Looked like it would be a nice finish, but it just hit the inside of the post to come out again, and he followed it in and put it away.
He's got incredible stamina. He's famous for playing the most consecutive games in La Liga history.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's something.
So if anyone was going to do this, it was going to be him.
But I was so pleased for him because, as I say, it was such a devastating campaign in AFCON for Ghana. So to get that kind of quick...
I mean, Andre Onana's going, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to come in late and save a penalty.
Yeah.
And then I got stitched up.
I tell you what, Cameroon have got Nigeria in the knockouts.
That was a great game. Big game.
See, this is all just further proof that El Chiringuito doesn't miss. Whenever you tune in, it's going to be something amazing.
That is true. How about this from Alistair on X? After Wednesday night's Ramble Reacts, he said, would you like to see the four Guineas of Equatorial, Bissau, Papua New and Guinea, or regular Guinea as we now call them, band together to form a Guinea Cup? 1,000 guineas to the winner. Mascot is a guinea pig.
Absolutely.
Alistair, how on earth could we oppose that idea?
Yeah. Or maybe they could form one super guinea.
Guinea cubed. Just play against Papua New Guinea. Who are the outlier here?
Guinea United, surely.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, Papua New Guinea aren't a real force in football, to be fair.
Yeah, or geographically anywhere near them.
No, it's very logistically difficult for them as well. Although I did notice that when I was looking up them after Alistair sent this in, that Papua New Guinea's biggest ever win is a 20-0 defeat of American Samoa. So they've got a bit of pedigree.
Have they?
Yeah, and then I'd noticed that in the summer just gone, they lost 10-0 to Malaysia. So it's up and down.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be making a big contribution to that. Theoretical, but certainly very, very good tournament of guineas. Anyway, it's now time for Football Ramble Acker with Betfair. I'd love if we could get a compilation of all the things that we've said just before we lead into the sponsor, because that is one of the weirder ones. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today we're going to build one of our four match odds 90 bets from across the FA Cup fourth round. Marcus, you are the bravest boy who always goes first. I think you might have picked the first game of the weekend as well, have you?
Yeah, well, there's a few tonight, isn't there?
Of course there are. Yeah, but the game you've got is happening tonight, so you could scupper it for everyone, is what I'm saying.
I could, yes. Spurs to beat Manchester City.
Oh, it's
a big call.
That's a spicy meatball. That is the spiciest of all meatballs.
Mamma mia. Yes, they're going to do it. James Maddison will fire them to victory.
Okay. Well, assuming they do that, Jim, what's your pick?
Well, you were all ragging on me for my beef with Bristol, both City and Rovers earlier on. But I'm going to go for Bristol City to beat Crisis Club Nottingham Forest.
That's a big call.
It is. Yeah. But they were excellent against West Ham. They're at home again. That stadium is brilliant. They play on the line, shall we say. Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough game for Forest. So I'm going to go for Bristol City to cause an upset.
Good use of the correct prefix for Nottingham Forest as well.
Yeah, that game kicks off 15 minutes before Spurs versus Man City.
Look, what I like about this is both of you, Jim to my left, Marcus to my right, you're taking your balls out the bath. You've gone for big, big shouts here, which is great. Here's hoping Andy continues that tradition.
I've gone for Everton to beat Luton.
Well done.
Simply because it's not possible to lose at home to Luton twice in the same season.
That's a fair, rationale, actually.
Talking of crises clubs.
Yeah, that's fair rationale. Everton. So Everton to beat Luton. Can't get a points deduction in the cup, can you?
You can't.
The final pick is obviously mine. I've gone for Leicester to beat Birmingham. I think Leicester are a fantastic side. I know they've had a little bit of a wobble, but I think they've got enough to do it.
And they'll be favourites as well. And you have, you've got 9 out of 15, and you obviously looked at that and thought, I want to preserve that for as long as possible.
It's the best record of all of us.
Yeah.
We'll put it out there, because we're about to do Jack's Encyclopedia. we're leaving it out. But I always do try and go for punchy ones if I can. This time I just thought, Leicester, I think they'll win. I want to continue that record if I can.
So we can't be all brave.
We can't. I can't be brave all the time.
No.
I can't carry you all around on my back all day. Spurs to beat Man City, Bristol City to beat Nottingham Forest, Everton to beat Luton, and Leicester to beat Birmingham. That's four home wins at least. £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £229.09. If we win, all that money goes to Prostate Cancer UK. Do remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for Araka here as well. That's exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Now it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Yes, it is Jack's Encyclopedia. I am hosting this week. It's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I'll play Gary Neville's Orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. So I won last week.
Yeah,
Marcus,
you did.
Considered it a friendly, quite churlishly, I thought. Yeah. But we're back now. I'm going to start with you, Luke.
It's the first time ever.
You're to my right.
That's a tribute to the Luke Nation.
It's a tribute to the Luke Nation. it's also just easy to keep track of.
No, I appreciate that. A couple of points of admin from me. One, we used to call it the Gary Neville Golgasm.
Yep.
Now it's been upgraded just to his standard orgasm. And secondly, I thought...
There's been research done behind the behind the scenes.
The two are similar.
Marcus and Vishen both embarrassed themselves last week. I thought, Jim, you were the only person who came out of it with any credit.
Thanks, mate. Why did I embarrass myself?
Just dismissive. Hosting it when you could have put your belt on the line.
Well, someone had to host it.
Yeah. But
can I say the level of buttering up to the host, whoever the host is in this game, it's just got out of control.
Yeah. Jim, I think you're an absolute credit to yourself, and I appreciate you coming to me.
You are looking beautiful today, though.
This is no different from how Luke normally talks to me. I don't know what you're talking about. Right, shall we begin?
Shall we?
Okay, the first category is a doozy. The FA Cup is back, as we know. The competition is a nationwide experience, so I want you to name all of the English and Welsh towns and cities that have a population of more than 200,000. These figures are as of 2019, and there are 25 answers. So to reiterate that, all of the English and Welsh towns and cities that have a population of more than 200,000.
That are in the competition, or just generally?
Just generally.
Just generally.
Right.
This is an incredible category.
Isn't it? So Luke, you are up.
Look, between you and I, I'll talk to them if you want me to. Have they fucking lost it, this production team? I've had a wobble. All right, here we go.
Bit of geography.
Basically, then, in summary, any town or city in England or Wales that's got more than 200,000 people in it. Off we go.
Correct.
London.
Well done. Marcus.
Birmingham.
Birmingham is in there. Of course it is.
Why did you need to check?
Just being thorough.
Fair.
Cardiff.
Cardiff.
Oh, I like that.
Also there.
Try to butt up the Welsh. Yeah. Pathetic. Manchester.
Manchester is obviously there.
Liverpool.
Liverpool is there.
I know it's there.
I know. I was just...
And Newcastle?
Absolutely.
Okay. How many are there in total?
Doesn't matter.
There are 25 in total.
Okay. Got to be Bristol, right?
Absolutely.
Leeds.
Correct.
Leeds are in.
Sheffield
is there.
God, it comes around quick, doesn't it?
It does. Mm. And you sound like, maybe this isn't as easy as I thought.
Someone's got to say it. I'm pretty sure Southampton has.
Correct.
Nottingham.
Yep.
York.
Ooh, I don't know about that, Andy.
No.
Yes. Get him out of the way.
Andy's out.
Get him out of the way.
Here we go.
That's a fucking big move for the little nation.
York's tiny.
Yeah.
It's not tiny.
It is.
Under 200,000, mate.
He was quite smug. See him looking at us like, I know Northern Towns. You lot know.
Yeah. Luke, you're back in.
I am back in. That's why I'm stalling, Jim. I'm going to go for Norwich.
Norwich.
Ooh, has to be.
No
has
way.
To be.
Nope.
Ah!
Hull. Point to Marcus.
Yeah.
Fuck.
People don't realise how big Hull is.
I almost went for Ipswich.
No, I went for Glasgow or
Ipswich
Edinburgh.
Because it wasn't Scotland.
So I'll read you the ones you could have had.
Oh, yeah, right.
Bolton, Bradford, Brighton,
yep.
Coventry, Derby, Leicester.
Leicester, I had.
Luton, Sean Dyche's Northampton, Plymouth, Portsmouth.
Oh, I genuinely thought Portsmouth was about 190,000. Right. I didn't want to guess.
I'm
it
surprised at Northampton.
Would have started flocking really. There since you've left.
Yeah.
You also could have had Reading, Stoke, or Wolverhampton. So
never heard of any of them.
No. Right then.
I heard that Hull was the eighth biggest city in England.
Right.
Is that right?
There we go.
Mm. Yeah. It's a bigger place.
We ain't got time for that now.
Yeah. Well done. So category two: countries that have won the Africa Cup of Nations since the competition started in 1957. I want the current officially recognised names of each country because in two cases on this list that has changed. So there are 15 in total. So Marcus, we're going to start with you.
I'll have Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast.
Or Côte d'Ivoire, if you want the French. I'd have kicked off.
Yeah.
Andy?
Egypt.
Egypt are obviously there. Won it seven times.
I might as well get this one out of the way. Zambia.
Love that. Correct. Well done.
Ghana
are there.
Senegal
also there.
Cameroon.
Nice.
Correct.
I'm now worried someone said this. Nigeria?
No, I said that.
No, okay. You suddenly panic.
But now I'm out. Sandy?
Is it me? Democratic Republic of Congo.
Ooh.
Very good, Andy.
Well done. Well played.
Right, now I'm basically into that stage where I'm just naming an African country.
Uh-huh. Well,
and I think I'm going to go for Tunisia.
Ooh, maybe.
Well done.
Thank you very well much done. Indeed, everyone.
Marcus?
Algeria.
Correct.
Nice.
This is a strong game, everyone. Andy?
South Africa.
That's my last one. I think I've only won it once.
Okay, so how many are there in total? 15. How many are left?
You've got three left. You've done incredibly well here.
Okay, three left.
Sorry, four left.
I'm going to go with
four left.
Morocco.
Nice. That was my last one.
Well done. Now you've got three left.
Bloody Nora.
I know what 4-1 is, Jim. Get him, Gary Neville, that fucking wanker now.
Yeah, he's not wrong, mate. It's
Torres. I'll have Republic of Congo.
The other Congo. Nice. Yeah.
Well not done. DR Congo. Well done. Yeah,
very good.
Okay, so just the two left, Andy.
Angola.
Okay, so Mali.
Marcus Speller wins.
Well done. Well done.
Who are the other two?
Yeah.
The other two are Ethiopia and Sudan.
Oh,
wow. So,
that's a great round.
Yeah. That's really, really good.
Do we all
well
agree?
Done,
can we all agree that I did better than Andy in that one?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, cheers. I'll take that. Second place is massive for the Luke Nation at this point.
But that's so huge. Funny, isn't it? Because there's some big nations there, like Kenya, who aren't particularly big on the old football.
You successfully defended your title there, mate.
Thanks.
Yeah. Great fashion,
very impressive.
Actually.
Very, very, very impressive.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Good. You sound like you are.
I am.
So it's just another day at the office for
I'm
you.
I'm just
mate.
Sort of looking around, see if we had a comment from Pitbull, but he just says, "Don't stop the party."
When Jimmy to the B posted up on X, which is also known as Twitter, the record of how everyone's done. And obviously, I'm bottom of the table.
Yeah,
I've won six times. I was absolutely astonished.
Yeah,
I thought I'd probably won twice maximum.
Mm.
You've won about 30.
Yeah, you're like the Pro Vercelli of this game.
I am. Back in the day, I was all about it, yeah.
It's a bit like Phil Brown's Hull. You probably won them all at the beginning, but not for a really long time.
So. Yeah. Show me the way to go. Is that the song he sang? What song was he singing?
I think it was, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, when he was on his moped driving around.
That's a big Harley, mate. It's a big hog.
That's true. That's disrespectful.
Big man's not getting on the moped.
Forgive me, Phil Brown.
Fucking Honda Goldwing. Massive hog. It's like Born to be Wild.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, everybody. Part of the Acast Creator Network. Join myself, Luke and Andy tomorrow for the mailbag. Do follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. It's been an absolute pleasure. The gate's open. The weekend has begun. It's FA Cup weekend, of course. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Cheers.
Thank you, Andy Bessel. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
So Klopp has just announced he's leaving at the end of the season.
Fucking hell!
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.